SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Series 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Series XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. A lot to do today and to follow up from the last couple of days. And of course, there's always new and fresh, whether it's the draws for the weekend, including yesterday with a very encouraging Monmouth card for Saturday. And, people didn't remember, I guess, that, you know, the Friday Twilight action is, you know, a six race. That's what they did last year, too. Obviously, it remains to be seen how things shake out. But, you know, in terms of Saturday, 12-race card, the Mr. Prospector, and, you know, some just nice Saturday racing on the shore. The addition of Nick Juarez and Farron Peterson to the roster on Saturday. And we got a long way to go on that issue. When Tony's in later, in hour two, actually, I was talking to him this morning, and I said, you know, what's your history with, you know, jockey job actions? And he said, been involved in quite a few. So let Tony kind of both sides the discussion. You know, as I mentioned yesterday, it seems as observers, it seems, you know, difficult to, you know, indict either side here. You know, jocks that are choosing not to ride and jocks that, you know, are choosing to participate. They're, you know, the most... Yeah, I'm almost inclined to reach for, you know, there's too much to do, but maybe we'll save it for Monday or next week when I'm at Belmont. Yeah, that's the most famous, I would think. That's the most famous jockey job action, right? The 88 strike. After, you know, in close proximity to Mike Venezia's death. That one is the one that probably the most in recent memory. I mean, there's been some individual, even fairly recently, you know, there's been some, you know, jockey, you know, job actions, right? That's the best way to describe it. Not necessarily strikes, but the one in New York in 88, that was a strike. I mean, there was no two ways about what that was, and there was some real, you know, some real animus directed the backdrop of that includes the debut of the Cigar Mile, the Naira Mile at the time, Billy Fox. That's actually. We'll tell that. We'll get that included. We'll have Rich is the right guy for that, because Mig had a front row seat there for that. Anyway, we'll let Tony riff a little bit more on Monmouth, and there's not a whole lot more to be said or known. Only anything that anybody wants to say about Parks and what went on over, you know, the weekend with the barn sweeps. There's, you know, there's only speculation that can be done. I know Tony was on track yesterday, and I don't know how much he can impart. So, Tony Black in hour two. We've got, in fact, while we're doing that, let me run things down. Dick Powell, of course, we'll get Dick in here early, and I wouldn't mind if Dick takes a minute or two to address some of the things that I talked about with Pat yesterday. An interesting hour with Pat, with him summarizing his extensive, wagering security series. I thought in that arena, there's so much more that could be included. But I think we hit quite a few good elements within it, and Dick certainly has been to enough of those kinds of there's actually specifically tote symposiums, some tote conferences that address all the topics that come across the tote landscape. So we'll talk a little Hong Kong with Dick too. And actually, I did not. How did in Japan? I forgot about the white filly, and I got to look that up. See what how that turned out. Libby Imperio, I mentioned yesterday as we were closing. I wanted to get Libby on because even with the relaxing of pandemic constraints, the Belmont Child Care Association spring fundraiser is going to still be virtual, and I'm sure you got to make these decisions well in advance, and they went the virtual route, which we can understand, but we'll certainly, I certainly want to give Libby a chance to promote the Spring Fling for the Belmont Child Care Association, and it's always Belmont Week tied, and next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all right? So raise some money for the great work that's done for the Belmont Child Care Association. We'll have Sean Clancy in for a visit. Hopefully, as I said to Joe last week, hopefully we've raised Sean's spirits. We can talk. Actually, we can talk a little chasing as well, because the Carolina Cup, I haven't provided the Carolina Cup recap from last weekend. And looking ahead, I guess, let's see, on Saturday, they're down for the Virginia Gold Cup at Great Meadow. And it's actually, they actually got a nice card. I looked at it on Tuesday, and I printed out the PPs of the two stakes. You got the Grade 3, the David Sims, and then you've got the Gold Cup. And as it happens, Sean and River D involved in the Grade 3. So nice card at Great Meadow on Saturday. So we'll talk a little jump action with Sean and other news. Todd Mostoller is going to join us and preview ahead to tomorrow. I mentioned the Penn Mile, Penn Oaks, the Lafarge, and the With Anticipation. You got first four tomorrow night at Penn National. Their big stake card. Mike Weiss, I've been threatening a visit from Mike for weeks, and they're next week, right? I think they kick off, I think, next week at Arizona Downs after all kinds of contentious discussion. So I wanted to give Mike a chance to visit. And Rich Eng. So busy, full morning, and kind of far flung too. Actually, now that I see it in print, a couple of things about yesterday, and notably Delaware getting started, and it seemed like they had a good day. The action spread around. Noted that they took in 53,000 in their pick five, which, you know, is a nice, it's a nice number, and paid great, actually, 5,600 with a $41 winner. In fact, that was the I don't know if you saw that race. That was the mother-daughter combination. Alexa G pays 41.80, and Skylar Spanabel, the 7-pound bug, got Alexa G home. That's funny. Horse looked done on the turn, and then split horses and came and got up. Her mother used to ride, right? Yeah, Kelly Spanabel. A Michigan racing family. Actually, it was a good day yesterday for Bugs, period, because Charlie Marquez with a couple of wins as well on the day. The 5 pounds for Marquez, won the nightcap for Hugh McMahon. Lizzie Merriman sent one out for Marquez as well. Tipsy Chatter underway at Delaware. So I was glad to get Kevin DeLucci in yesterday to kick off their season. And you know, it seemed like quite a few people. I saw quite a bit on Twitter of people that went to Delaware Park yesterday for opening day. And in fact, a terrific picture of the paddock. So somebody said that they didn't believe it, what I said about the paddock at Delaware, until they saw it. Going out toward the Midwest yesterday, Indiana, and speaking of Twitter hits and Twitter comments, saw where somebody cleverly tied together Seth's Indiana ideas with the horse that I pushed in the seventh. That Bullseye Bun and Andy McKeever. Nice. It's funny. There was a major scratch in that race. One of the favorites, Joe Sharp, actually with a Joe Bessiker horse, More Abundance, ended up scratching. And that brought the price down, unfortunately, on Bullseye Bun. But that was one of those sets of PPs where you literally are well served putting a line, you know, the expression, put a line through that race. Go ahead and put a line through off-the-turf races for turf horses. And then all of a sudden you say, wow, look at this. Look at this set of PPs. I mean, you know, a first, you know, couple of placements, broke maiden on off the turf. But still, the two allowance races at Churchill and Keeneland were, you know, with serious company. So Bullseye Bun paid $8, which was nice. And the pick four, Seth's horses. Seth, actually, there was a horse that Seth picked second in his in the eighth race. That very Amelia was 20-1 for Antonio Duran, and paid $23.40. That was the tough horse in the sequence. Good job by Seth. So almost 400 on the pick four, 850 on the pick five. And I'll mention a couple of things at Canterbury yesterday. I don't know if you saw this. Mid-card, you had a rough incident that appears like it was everybody seems okay. That fifth race, Daigle, Tony Rengstorff's horse with Lindy Wade. And Wade came over on Loyal and True. Between the half mile and 3/8, and caused a heel clip and an incident. Perfect Spring went, and you had two other horses. Another one fell over, and they both got up and appeared to be okay. You saw them trailing the field. And one horse was basically eased. Tyler Kennedy eased Princess Renee out of the race, essentially, and just kind of jogged her home. But this could have been much worse. And as it happens, Wade was placed last because of it, and that elevated Loyal and True. Who was directly impacted. That sequence actually paid nicely. The pick fives at Indiana and Canterbury you can't go wrong looking at them. This one paid three times the parlay. With those takeout levels. The 11.99 at Indiana and the 10 at Canterbury. It's crazy how attractive the proposition is. Season ended at Will Rogers yesterday. Slipped this in, and you had, it's funny, of those two stakes I mentioned, the More Than Even and the Cherokee Nation Classic Cup. One of the short-priced favorites came through, Lady Orchid, under Floyd Wethy. For the Bravos, Francisco and Lori Bravo, 1-5. But in the Classic Cup, Quality Rocket at 2-5 could not get to the successful appeal gelding quick. Yeah, just Jose Ibarra sent this one out, and quick, over 12-1, paid 26.40. Beating Quality Rocket. Yeah, just basically held the favorite safe. So, nice season at Will Rogers complete. All right, so that's that. And today, I should mention, speaking of Canterbury and the Midwest, you do have three stakes today at Canterbury. The Minnesota HBPA and the Honor the Hero. Today, and there's one more too, and I'm going to forget what the third one was, but we'll slip that in as the morning proceeds. And then tomorrow, I said that we'll talk to Todd Mostoller about Penn National and the Penn Mile and the Penn Oaks and the two Pennsylvania bred races, but I'll reiterate, terrific Best of Ohio stakes card at Belterra tomorrow. Yeah, well worth looking at. Big bulky fields and $500,000 stakes. Yeah, there's 14 in the Gendelman. 14 by 10 by 12 by 11 by 11. That's the stakes action. The stakes slate. At Belterra tomorrow. So, let's see. What else can I tell you before Dick joins us? In fact, Case, why don't you reach for Dick? And we'll get going. One thing I did not get to the last day or so, the official word came from the Steve Asmussen camp about Midnight Bourbon not participating in the Belmont. So, He's going to target summer action instead. All right. If you hadn't seen that, and I saw Andy yesterday was actually already. Andy's got to be seemingly excited about next week because he was already kind of going through the probables and looking at the stakes nominations for next week. Yeah, there's also a couple of horses that Get Her Number had been rumored for the Belmont, but entered the Texas Derby at Lone Star Monday, and Keep Me in Mind also had been kind of rumored, but now Deodoro seems like he's heading to the Ohio Derby, and same for Promise Keeper among that group of Todds. So it seems like Pletcher's going to run three, Known Agenda, Bourbonic, and Overtook. Those are the three. I'll tell you who, who people need to take a look at. If you did not happen to see Rebel's Romance, Dave Grenig put out the workout at Belmont. Looks okay. Disappointed in the UAE Derby, but Rebel's Romance. I think Belmont's a funny race for international imports, right? Dick, is it? Do we have a 36 red going on here? Good morning.
Well, we'd rather have a go and go without the money.
There you go. Okay. Well,
Nick ran second that year with 36 red, and I think Nick ran second seven times in the Belmont. He always had those 3-year-olds ready for the mile and a half on the dirt.
That's right.
So go and go is shipped in for the unbelievable Dermot Weld, who not only won a Belmont, but 2 Melbourne Cups and races in Hong Kong, just everywhere, including France, Ireland, stuff like that. So Go and Go came in and took the money that day. This year, I think it's a wide open, terrific race. I have no opinion right now. I'm going to let it play out and then take a hard look at it, but it's a nice race as far as making money. It sounds terrible. It's great to have a Triple Crown winner. It's great to have an immortal horse, but come on, you just want to have the winner of the 13th race at Belmont and June 5th.
There's been a few of late that that have been, personally, I've taken a couple of just agonizing, brutal, agonizing beats in the Belmont in recent memory, I don't know if it's a race that people overthink because of the mile and a half or I don't know it. I'm trying to think of the was it Tonalist that can't remember who it was that where I had landed on commissioner whoever beat commissioner.
That was like the winner.
Yeah. I mean that, and it was like 30-1, and I'm not somebody that I won't say that I was counting the money. I don't do that. But boy, that was. That one hurt because I sort of saw commissioner coming from a mile out. I mean, days, weeks in advance. In fact, it might have even been like in March or April. I think I might have said, this is a Belmont horse if I ever saw one, and I just was so. Yeah, yeah. Listen, you can't. you can't. You can't dwell on them, at least too much.
I can live off Sarava for a few more years.
That a boy! Now you're talking.
Still in the black,
right? I'm still spending that money as that. Now there's something I do say.
Never bet him. Never bet him again. You know, bet him once, and that was it.
That was the time. 70-1. Yeah. Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong.
I thought he would be 30 and possibly lower, and they could not bet War Emblem enough, and just everyone in the field is overpriced.
Yeah.
So I'm 70. I'm under Paul Vandenberg, who I do radio with. Calls me and says, "Is that the horse you gave out?" I'm like, "Yeah." Are you kidding? Oh, never thought he'd go up in price like that. But he did. So
he was not. He was not the longest price on the board that day, though.
I'm sure you're correct. I'm trying to think.
Our tax too.
Oh wow!
Our tax too was 71-1. Yeah. So you can't. But you know what? People may not remember either about Saravas Belmont was the Exacta and Medaglia d'Oro at 16-1.
It was the craziest race. Not only having a big price horse like that, but at no point in the race did I think I was going to lose.
That's a great
feeling. I'm just sitting there in fifth with four horses in front of me. I'm just saving ground. Eddie Prado just got them all wrapped up. Yeah, he had the fight with the Medaglia d'Oro for the lane, but even then, I never thought it's just craziest experience. He got this long shot, and he's running like a 4-5 shot. And everything is going his way. And then the underrated aspect of that was War Emblem's Preakness. He won the Derby. Great. He gunned to the front. He ran him off the feet. Now in the Preakness, he beats Booklet going into the first turn. And that was the race. And if he doesn't beat Booklet going into the first turn, he's not in the top three because he's going to get shuffled back severely. So now he comes out of the Preakness, and to me, he's a 7-furlong horse at best. And, I get a mile and a half. You can get a slower pace or anything else. I just never thought he had prayer at getting that trip. And, it's one of those things. I don't care if I was right or wrong. I got the money. you always try to match up your analysis with the result, and you say, "Well, I analyzed it this way, and it came in the exact way." I really don't care. The horse won paid $142.50.
Amazing. I mean, really. In fact, I just here's the numbers. The exact. The Exacta was $2,454.
And I touted him that week.
That's the craziest
thing. And one of the people I touted him to is still around, the former state senator Howard Nolan. And Howard would always go to the races. He was former head of, president of the New York Thoroughbred Breeders and all that. And I had talked to Howard that week, and I'm telling him, "Boy, you watched that race in Maryland, that Sir Barton Stakes. His cruising speed was just terrific." And then obviously on the radio. And the other thing that Saturday night was Lennox Lewis against Mike Tyson. And obviously I'm a big boxing fan, so my friend asked me, "What do you think about the fight?" And I said, not only is this a horrible matchup for Mike, he's going to get hurt. And, Lennox, nice guy that he is, backed off of Mike because Mike was in a lot of trouble in that fight. And Lennox was too big, too strong. Mike was on the way down. That's just a lot of factors. So it was just like I had this day when biorhythms.
Yeah, you got everything right.
Sheer luck, whatever. Who cares?
I love it. We'll do plenty of Belmont storylines next week. Dick, I don't know if you had a chance yesterday to listen. Pat had reached out about kind of summarizing his tote security series, and I thought it was a good opportunity to to kind of touch on most of the broad strokes of it. Did you get a chance to listen yesterday?
No, I
okay.
Didn't.
All right. I don't know how much of the series that you've consumed, but you have extensive experience and understanding on that topic, and I did want you to riff a little bit on on that. Not as a, as one of the areas that the industry really requires. I suppose a simple way to put it is just modernization and new efficiencies and better harmonies. I tried to explain some of the backstory elements of what causes and what has caused issues, which was, having three different technology service companies, each with their own independent platforms for bet processing. It's a complex topic, and I know people have a tendency to, simplify the issues that the game faces, but this is one that there are some solutions out there that don't feel all that hard to to get to.
Yeah, I mean, we have a general fundamental problem of three toe companies, none of which can make money. I'm not a monopoly person. I'd rather have a free market, but unfortunately, we would probably be better off with a monopoly. That if there were one toe company that were solvent and could then take some of that solvency and put it into better technology so that some of the analytic tools that are needed to make sure the betting is secure and everything being done correctly would be there. Right now, the excuse is always don't have the money, don't have the people. I mean, I give you an example, Steve. At OTB, there was always a tote room in the old building. It was actually right across from the, in the old building on Smith Street. Right across the hall was the tote room. And there'd be people there while racing being conducted anywhere. And if there were bets or a cancellation, there was always someone there. And then that got phased out. And most tracks and most OTBs phased it out because it just got too expensive. And then the tote companies wound up handling a lot of those functions. So we've kind of scaled back on areas that are pretty sensitive and pretty risky if you do have a problem. So I did read the thing that Pat wrote with the one bets being made at one track to affect the odds because they were small pools, and then they're betting somewhere where it's a bookmaking operation, and the people who are making the bets to on track to affect the on track price, which the bookmaker is going to pay off now, is getting hit with a higher price. And yeah, that's tough. Now, where I grew up, you wouldn't really want to do that. Not with the bookmakers. In Staten Island, you might get away with it once. Not on a regular basis. There's a lot. There's a lot. I mean, if you could get Pat and I and a couple other people, and then just the proverbial lock us in the room and let us talk, and it's interesting. I'm not saying I can't say it's not damaging. It is damaging, but it's just the industry which claims they're all in favor of integrity suddenly slams on the brakes when it comes time to funding initiatives that are going to perform those kind of functions. And as Pat has pointed out, the TRPB basically has Curtis Monell and Laura, I can't get her last name correct, but, and they're like the Wager and Integrity Unit, you know, two people. And when Pat's traveled around the world, you go to other jurisdictions, and it's not two people. You know, it's a lot different. But that's a big commitment from a lot of people and a lot of facets of the industry.
You know, one thing, and we, you know, we had a lot to cover, and it did, back of my mind, in fact, you know, what Tina asked me when she got home from school, she went, how was the show? And I was telling her some of the elements, and as I talked, it occurred to me, you know, maybe to reach out to, in a quiet opportunity, I thought about Pat Mahoney. You know, this is one area of the technical side of the game that we really probably have spent less time on this than any other arena. I'm going to guess in terms of explaining and even Pat, I think it was a lot to ask of him. You know, to, you know, explain how the bet processing works, because I think it's something that would benefit everybody to hear. You know, what, you know, they hear about the, you know, the South Dakota hub and the Oregon hub, and what does it mean exactly? You know, and you know, where do these go, and how, you know, how are they processed? I don't think it was really addressed as part of what Pat set out to do. You know, the just, you know, how the thing, the mechanics of it. I think it'd be worthwhile.
Yeah. I mean, the frustrating thing for me is the people who were rigging the odds. I think it was Will Rogers Downs, and then betting, quote, offshore. And then I work for RGS, and we are offshore. So therefore, the line is there. There is no line. It gets blurred to the point where there's no line, even though we are parimutuel. Our bets go through the same hub that NYRA bets go through. Well, not NYRA anymore. They're Anto now, Western United Bank. But it's like any other processing. There's nothing different other than our operations are in St. Kitts, because when we started, when Kurt Brooks invented the rebate business, which he did, there was no place to go. There was no Oregon. There was no South Dakota. There wasn't a single racing jurisdiction in North America that was going to oversee this. So we went to St. Kitts because it was English-speaking. They had pretty decent technology, telephone-wise, everything else. And we have a successful operation that we still have a phone room, which I think everyone just somehow conveniently forgets. And we probably have more people of color working for us percentage-wise, clearly, than any industry, any racing component. And I can't say the world, but anywhere in North America. So we're supposed to, like, we've been told, why don't you move to, quote, and we're like, okay, now we're going to close down and lay all these people off and cost them their jobs and have economic impact effect and things like that. And I give another example. You know me, Steve. I'll name names. I'm at Albany Law School one year, and there was a presentation, and this subject came up, and it was about rebate shops. And Charlie Haywood, who's former president of NYRA, he comes out and says, well, they're not down there just for the weather. Rich, I mean, believe me, if we were not in that kind of legal setting with 100 lawyers around, I was purple with rage to come out and say that. But you just scandalizing us. We're not. So what are we there for? And we've heard this crap from Paul Berube for years. What if we took the money and left? You know, in other words, what if we took all these bets and then decided, oh, we're closing up? Well, gee, we never did that. We haven't done that. We don't intend to do that. But Hialeah Park did that. John Brunetti closed his racetrack years ago and took all the purse money and left. And what did horse racing do? They let him back in. So, I mean, so the offshore thing has been just brutal for us because, yes, there are pirates offshore. I once gave a speech at a conference, and I got up and introduced myself. I said, I'm Dick Powell, work for Racing and Gaming Services. At that point, we had handled $3 billion in wagering and then contributed $150 million to purses at that point. I do not wear an eye patch. I do not have a hook for an arm. I am not a pirate. But you can't, you know, so the minute you get into offshore, that I've given another example. IRG went out of business. They were another rebate shop. And they went out of business for reasons that are very apparent, but you've never read. And sure enough, one of the writers in horse racing writes this thing about, could RGS be next? Because clearly this was offshore, and we're offshore. So one offshore went out of business. So clearly there's some movement on the federal government's part. And so then the guy's calling me, and he wants a comment. And I refused to talk to him. So eventually I saw him, and I said to him, I said, why would I comment on something that you already wrote? If you were a real reporter, you would have called me for a comment, at which point I could have commented or given you no comment. But you already threw it out there. So I'm not talking to you. he didn't like that, but sorry. How about being a real reporter? So that's you know, that's what we deal with on a daily basis. You know, settlement money. I mean, one year we funded a racetrack's roof because the roof blew off in a storm, and they owed us over $100,000 in settlement money. And we had to wait over a year to get that money because they took the money and they used it for capital improvements. The system is supposed to work that when a bet gets made, a bet gets cash. So if you're betting with us or anybody, you hit $1 million pick six, that money is in your account immediately. Now, the person who took that bet, who's licensed and authorized by the track who produced the race, the person who took that bet now has to get paid by the money has to get shifted in order to have the money to pay. But in reality, we pay immediately. So we have the negative settlement. And yet I went to conferences for years and years and years about settlement. And I'm like, we have the negative settlement. You want to see our book 60 days late, 90 days late? I mean, no one pays their settlement money on time. It's like a free zero interest loan. Why? Because our customers are a little bit better than your customers, so money gets shifted our way. Any other rational business would be settling overnight. But not so we're dealing with, see, what I'm just trying to tell you how big the wall is.
Well, no, I appreciate the look behind the curtain, and I'm sure some people are hearing things that they're, you know, that they just have not. That's why, you know, that's why this is a topic that would be productive, and you know, and it's obviously an area where we would need, you know, we would need a handful of people for input to kind of round table it. I'm going to chew on this, and maybe we do some sort of a conference special thing that we can then upload, you know, could do it live, but not so much radio. Something, you know, maybe in a Zoom format that I'm going to work on that, Dick. I think this is something that would really be worthwhile, because I do not think that, you know, the rank and file player has any idea how this mechanism operates. And I reiterate that it's one area that I just, in part because of its complexity, and in part because, you know, I don't know. But I can tell that there's interest, so I'm going to, we'll see about that.
Yeah,
all right.
A quick example of why it's important. There is a major racetrack in the United States whose president has said on the record in public that if an ADW site is having negative settlements, meaning we, my track, have to send them money because they're winning more than, you know, the normal takeout, I'm cutting them off. And he has done that. So what you're telling the bettors, the ones that found out the hard way, is we are running a three-card Monte game. We're telling people that, oh, we want you to bet our money, bet your money. But if you win, we're cutting off. And that's no different than going to Vegas and being a card counter, or, you know, whatever. You know, you're not breaking any rules. You just happen to be winning.
Well, and obviously that's a selective policy, given the fact that, you know, there's operators that seem to be providing special, you know, terms to the groups and inviting their activity and participation at. You know, potentially reduced rates. So it clearly, you know, there's a variety of operating standards on this topic.
Yeah, but he, what this guy did, and he cut off this one site, and the site went and proved that the bettor who was winning, I don't know how this person was doing it, was making all his bets at 11 o'clock in the morning. Somehow
right. Yeah,
he was consistently winning.
He still
gets cut off. And even after the top records were produced and everything was shown, there's still no interest. No, we're against it. What are you against?
We're going to do this, Dick. All right, we'll put our heads together, and I think it'll be a valuable exercise in multiple directions. Let's get some international conversation in, because I got to get Libby Imperio on and talk about the Belmont Child Care Association's fundraiser next week. But what did we see this weekend?
Well, our Japanese superstar got beat.
Yeah.
Kobashi. She got beat in the Japanese Oaks. Sobashi, excuse me. She ran eighth in the Oaks. I don't know what happened, but she now 5-for-6. Unfortunately, this has kind of serious ramifications, because the dream was for her to go to the Arc de Triomphe, and hopefully they can regroup and get her back on track. But that was kind of a shock, not only that she got beat, but got beat pretty soundly in the Oaks. Ascot's coming up. They're going to allow, what they say, 12,000
per day? Yeah, 12,000.
Not bad. I still can't understand how I can tune in last night's Nick game and see a virtual sellout, and we're still not sure about Saratoga. I don't get that part. Why we
hold it. You just had the governor yesterday change the, you know, basically update the policy as of yesterday that you can now have 100% capacity for that fully vaccinated patrons. I mean, so the reason they're waiting is because this target keeps changing, and the number, parameters keep changing.
Believe me, I am not one to iron this. No, absolutely not. They have to wait for guidance. But yeah. The guidance has been drip by drip by drip.
No doubt. I mean, it's been steady. It's steady in the positive direction, obviously. So that's the best part. Listen, Pat McKenna said 6 weeks ago, when the Bills and the Sabres talked about having, you know, full capacity in sections for Excelsior Pass patrons, Pat said that that's something we can already envision and we can look forward to. I mean, that part of it, anybody that's vaccinated that wants to come to Saratoga has got, is going to be, have not an issue. It's not going to be much longer before we have details. And I can tell you that my friend Vince from California, Vince the Stevedore, he went to book hotels for his trip with his friend Dominic, who he's bringing. And he said hotels are either filling up or full up. So people are booking.
Okay. So Royal Ascot's going to have some people. Saratoga's going to have a lot of people. Hong Kong is gradually allowing customers in for their races. So we're getting back to normal there with some crowds, and hopefully next season will be full capacity. On Sunday, we had our last group one. It was the Champions and Chater Cup. 18-1 shot. Panfield won the 2,400-meter race in very fast time. Panfield is bred in Chile, but sired by Looking at Lucky. So Looking at Lucky had shuttled down there many years.
Yep.
As did Scat Daddy. Scat Daddy has a ton of Chilean sired horses when he was alive. So a lot of good U.S. stallions down there. Panfield is the benefit of that. He's been kind of a disappointment in Hong Kong since he came, but he got the trip. It was one of these paces that started out slow, and then they're like going 25, 24, 23, 22. And the pace certainly quicked up, and it helped him, Tony Millard, and Karis Peaton were the winning combinations. Earlier on the card was the Shot Pin Trophy of Group 3, 6 furlongs. Courier Wonder, who was 4-for-4 going into the race, the John Size went off as the heavy favorite, even though he was facing all the horses. He won in 108.16, looked real good. His rating now is 107. He's finished for the year. He was 5-for-5 this year, except Size has indicated he's going to keep him sprinting. There's so much money in sprinting in Hong Kong and elsewhere. There was no real evidence that he was going to stretch him out. Hopefully, Fantastic Treasure, the other big undefeated three-year-old who's been winning at 7 furlongs, will stretch out. Yesterday at Happy Valley, just from out of nowhere, on a card that I know it was good to firm, but it wasn't like that firm. And Dancing Fighter breaks the track record for 1,000 meters, 56.11. And then the next race, Czar, crushes the 1,650-meter course record. So we had two course records back-to-back, even though the three previous races were slower than standard time. So those were legitimate. I thought there might be a win dated in 1,000 meters, but then if you're breaking the track record going two turns, you're into the wind somewhere. So we've had a lot of good to firm races. We've had a lot of fast races in the last month or so. And form held up pretty good, 3 out of 9 favorites. Yesterday we did have that stretch where form was kind of dominating with favorites. Happy Valley, it's usually not the case there. One quick thing, we sent out an email blast. It's called Handicap and Angles that the Jockey Club sent out that I work on. And I did this thing, Steve, on 1,400-meter races. Now, we have a lot of 1,200-meter races, 1,400-meter races. And the overall record for favorites on the turf in Hong Kong, Sha Tin, is 31%. When you break them out by the 5, 6 distances, 1,000, 1,200, 1,400, 1,600, 1,800, 2,000. Everyone is higher than 31%, except for 1,400 meters. It's only 24% favorites. So 1,200 meters is 40% winning favorites. 1,400 meters is 24%. It doesn't make a lot of sense because you got a little bit extra space to get into the first turn. But the further digging, there's this little quirk. When they put the rail out far enough, they have to limit 1,200 meter races to 12 starters. When they put the rail out at 1,400 meters, they do not have to limit it to 12. They can run 14. So the average starting field for 14 was 13.17 compared to 12.49. The 1,200. So there's this little quirk when you're betting 1,400 meter races, which there's a lot of. That's the most of the six distances. Don't be afraid to bet.
Watch. Yeah.
Because only 24% of the favorites are winning those races.
Nice.
Even though all the other distances are above the 31%. I drilled down and came up. We got racing, let me double check, Sunday night, 12:45 post time, one group three, 1,600 meters, race three, the Lion Rock Trophy Handicap. I like number one, Kai Ying Star. He is the high weight, but he had the spectacular 109.7 trial on the all weather to have him ready for this. And he didn't run bad against Golden 60 last time out, so I don't know what price he'll be, but race three, we're going to go with number one, Kai Ying Star.
All right. Anything else?
That should be about it. Looking forward to Belmont Week and all the supporting stake races, and hopefully weather will cooperate and we'll be good.
Well, actually, you say that, and I know we're going to get, I know we're supposed to get some here this weekend, which we do need. I mean, nobody's going to question that. Even yesterday, we were supposed to get serious, a serious dousing, and it never, at least here, it never showed up.
We got very little.
Yeah,
we got the wind. We got the power outage.
Yeah, the obligatory power outage. No, I know. Not good. So. Especially because, tomorrow we got that Pennine Ridge tomorrow or Saturday. And there's actually a lot of in the Northeast. I mean, there's quite a bit of turf racing coming. So, Dick, I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you from Belmont next week.
Talk next week. Yeah. Definitely.
You got it. All right. Dick Powell, okay. Everybody. HKJC, HKJC Racing on Twitter and HKJC.com. We're going to stay here and spend just a couple of minutes before the break, before Tony and Sean Clancy and Todd Mostoller, Mike Wise from Arizona. Looking forward to a chance to promote the Belmont Child Care Association, and Libby Imperio going to join us. Had to be an agonizing decision about how to handle this year's spring fling, not knowing, what the status was going to be in terms of, pandemic conditions. And the choice was made to do it virtually. And Libby, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm good. And, I suppose, it's easy to say now that, there could have been, vaccinated attendance function. But I guess we'll save that for Saratoga and other venues, but and other, opportunities down the road. But one more virtual event this next week.
Yeah, we're very proud of what we're about to put out for our virtual event. And coming in August, we will be doing our Racing for the Children's event live in Saratoga at Saratoga National. So something to look forward to. And while we are sad we weren't able to be in person for this event this year for the Spring Fling, I don't think it's going to disappoint on the virtual online. So I'm happy to come and talk about it. It is going to launch on June 3rd at 9 a.m. and continue until June 5th at 5 p.m., right before the Belmont Stakes. and we have some really amazing things for you to check out on our website. The website is free to log on to. You can go through all the highlights that we have. We have some presentations from the King's Carriage House, a restaurant in New York City, about entertaining. She's going to put together a beautiful racing table and a couple appetizers to show you how to plan a good event. We are doing a presentation from the from Tory Burch, the beautiful designer Tory Burch, which will be a two-day event online, and they're going to show us what's new for spring and summer. So really exciting participants for us. We have incredible premium auction items, one especially from the Jackson family, better known to racing people as Stone Street Racing. But the Kendall Jackson family, their premier boutique Colt Wine Cardinal, which is incredible if anyone's ever had it. They have donated a guest house at their Cardinal Vineyard with for four people, a two-night stay at their private villa. And it will include a wine tour for four people at Cardinal and the other Stone Street Vineyards. We have a VIP box for the 2022 Belmont Stakes, a spend the day with Anthony Stabile on your horse racing network radio show, so that could be really fun. Some great trip to Antigua, St. Lucia, a great dinner at for 10 people at King's Carriage House in New York City, $500 gift certificate for all you Long Islanders to the Pole restaurants, which is Brian and Cooper, Cipollini, Koku. For the golfers in our world, an amazing round of golf at Saratoga National for four, including carts, and $200 gift card to Prime, which, as we all have probably eaten there, will definitely help for your bill, but it's, the food is amazing there. So that's just some of our Prime auction items. But the really fun thing that we have going on is you can come on and shop some of the most amazing stores, and 15 to 20% of your purchase will be donated back to Belmont Child Care. Some great and very well-known stores like Neiman Marcus, Tory Burch, Veronica Beard, Glamour Puss, Jot USA, which makes amazing down vests and etc. For the hat women wearing hat within Saratoga, we have Christine Moore and Kathleen Keegan Millinery. So you can buy a couple great new hats for Saturdays in Saratoga, and some great home items. And we're really looking forward to it. There's a way for you to participate in any which way you want. And if you don't want to shop, and we still have ways for you to donate to Belmont Child Care in any financial manner that it feels fit to you. You know, every dollar counts. And so that's one of the biggest things that we believe in, that there's no donate, there's no small donation. So no, we are really excited about our event.
Well, lots to do, and it's basically a microsite that will go live on June 3rd at 9 a.m. And, you know, the basic site, you know, belmontchildcare.org, and you know, you can access it from there, and we'll send out the links next week as well. And Libby Imperio with us, and, of course, Libby and you know, so many of the people that have been long associated with the Belmont Child Care Association, whether it's, you know, trainers and owners, of course, Michael Dubb, long tied to the BCCA with Anna House.
Yeah.
We should also talk, Libby, for a minute about people coming to Saratoga this summer. They're
going to see the
new house.
Yeah. Faith House is opening in early July. We just did a press event that was covered in a lot of the horse racing periodicals, but we are opening Faith House It will be open every day from 5:30 until 5 p.m. during the Saratoga meet for children of 6 weeks old to 5 years old. We are taking applications now. It is the most beautiful building. It's located right on the Oklahoma training track side of the Saratoga racetrack. It is so spectacular. It brought tears to my eyes the other day when I was up there. This is a 10-year dream for the board of directors at Belmont Childcare, and this has been fully funded by Michael and Lee Dubb, and without their generosity, it would never have probably come to fruition this soon. So we're thrilled.
There's speaking of which, you know, for some corporate entities that are listening or owners that would consider it, there are a few, two or three naming opportunities left in the building, including the lobby, plus the residential quarters. And
actually, the lobby, we were very thrilled.
No.
Has been taken.
Unbelievable.
By Jim Pilata has graciously named
wow.
the lobby, so
nice.
That was tremendous. But we still have a couple rooms available, as well as the playground. You know, corporate would be amazing, but it could also be, you know, a couple of people together coming together to do a naming of one of the rooms or the playground. I think you'd be really proud to have your name on any of it.
Absolutely. Well, and that was a $50,000 donation. The classrooms were named, so we're down to a couple of options on that front. But you know, the care of the children of, you know, the backstretch employees, education and you know, daycare. It's one of the best stories in all of racing.
Well, the great part about Faith's House will be that it's available to everybody coming into Saratoga, not just the typical New York backstretch families, but if you're coming in from Kentucky, California, Florida, Louisiana, we are here and we are available to you, and we are taking applications right now.
Very nice, and that's a great, a good point to bring up. Well, Libby, I wanted to alert everybody that one more virtual event, ideally the last of its kind. We're going to look forward to the summer party, which is always one of the, it's always a relaxed atmosphere, and it's one of the real highlights of the summer social fundraising schedule at Saratoga. So we'll look forward to talk about that. But June 3rd, 4th, and 5th, next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, starting at 9 a.m., the opportunity to, you know, bid on the auction items and peruse the vendors. There's going to be Maggie doing a handicapping session as well that'll be on there, and all the other nice elements. Libby, well done, and thanks to you and Joanne Adams and everybody that does Faye Donk, and everybody that puts their time and effort into one of the game's biggest success stories. So
thanks Steve, and you can come on as frequently as you want, and remember, it doesn't cost anything to come on the website, so come and check us out. I think you will not be disappointed.
I love it. Libby Imperio, I appreciate it, and you're off to the Mets game today, huh?
I am. A doubleheader. I don't know if I can stay the whole time, but my husband's going to make me.
Nice. Well, have fun, and I hope it's the weather okay downstate. I haven't even...
It's absolutely gorgeous.
Beautiful.
And, you know, we're looking forward to it, and it'll be a rainy weekend, I think, for racing, but, you know, Belmont's open and fans can be there, and we're just excited to be back racing with the public. So we're happy to be there.
Libby Imperio,
hopefully
everybody.
We get some winners this weekend.
Exactly. Libby, thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Steve, so much. Good to see you.
See you next week, Libby Imperio, and the BCCA, the Belmont Child Care Association, and, of course, Anna House, as well as now Faith's House up at Saratoga. Let's take a break here. Tony Black going to swing in. I'm going to get some thoughts from Tony about, particularly about the Monmouth situation. Certainly, a second day of entries yesterday, I think, went a long way to, you know, moving this difficult topic and difficult start of the season forward. Nothing will help more than, you know, putting horses in the gate. But I want to hear Tony's thoughts on the job action aspect, because this is not the first and won't be the last time that, you know, riders as a group have a, you know, take a position and, you know, end up at odds with management. This goes back, you know, a long way, pretty much to the 30s, when the jocks finally were able to organize and, you know, create the Jockey Guild, and, you know, have some degree of bargaining power. I mean, it was a serfdom. I mean, they were, you know, literally at the disposal of trainers for decades, you know, before having any, you know, real clout. So, and Tony's been around almost from the start of the time that the jocks got a little bit more, you know, a little bit more power in that equation. Tony Black next. Sean Clancy in a little bit as well. Todd Mostaller, Mike Weiss as well from Arizona. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll free number 888-938-4643.
Sirius XM Sports presents